the text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for today, from Mark chapter 10, where Jesus tells the disciples, if you wish to be first, then you must be slaves of all. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who wants to be a slave? Do you? You are? Who really wants to be a slave? I doubt that the classified ad advertising such an opening would receive many applications. A website detailing the opportunity would certainly not receive a whole lot of clicks. A flyer posted around town looking for interested persons would certainly not receive many long stares. And yet today, Jesus says that if we wish to be first in his kingdom, we should, so to speak, put in an application. We should rush to the website. We should read every last detail there on that flyer. Yes, he says that if we want to be first in his kingdom, we must be slaves of all. While this idea might seem terribly odd to us, who are terribly repulsed even by the word slave, and who cringe at the thought of not being free, the thought was just as foreign to the first disciples who heard these words. They knew quite well that those who sat in the seat of power in their day and age were certainly not servants or slaves in any way. No, far from being slaves of all, they were slaves of no one. For many of them, that was the whole point of having the seat of power that they had. They had worked hard to ascend to power so that they could no longer have to receive orders, but only give them. We too are familiar with people who view power in this way. While we often call our politicians public servants, it would obviously at times be rather hard to prove that that is what they are by what they do. Yes, you and I too often also see people in power in our communities and in our country not bowing to anyone. We watch as they lord their power over whoever it takes in order to accomplish their goals and fulfill their desires. But lest we gather in church today to simply besmear those in authority over us, we have to admit that that desire to have authority and power that can be exercised over someone else is very common, one that is even found among you and me. Oh, all of us like to be in charge if that can advance our plans. All of us love to have power when it means that we can form people into our image. All of us like authority if it means that we can dictate other people into caving into our ideas. We do this in many areas of life. Whatever we do for work, the desire to be in charge and to tell other people what to do in a way that benefits us is very easy to have. Whether it's on the farm controlling what is done where and how, or whether it's in the healthcare field giving orders rather than taking them, or whether it's in the office ready to be boss instead of being boss. Yes, we like to be in charge if that means we can craft the things around us into the way that we want them. In our family life, we also display this tendency to try to seize power and then use it to get our family lined up the way that we want it to be. Well, children use their screens and their bad behaviors to seize control, while parents use their size and the strength of their voice to gain the same control. And when it comes to the power wars between spouses, I suppose the sermon isn't long enough to speak of all the games that are played by spouses in order to try to form their marriage into to what they desire. Perhaps most sad of all, we often see this attitude right here in our midst as well. Yes, we do this work of seizing power and then using it over people right here in the assembly of God's people. We all too often seek our interests at the expense of others. We seek to lord power over those people who we with the same mouth call our church family. When's the last time you ever heard an older person stand up and say, you know, that change would really benefit our younger members? Or vice versa, when's the last time you heard a youth stand up and say, you know, while we really like things this way, we understand what it means to those other people? I suppose we don't hear statements like that nearly enough. Especially when big decisions are made in congregations, this sort of selfish power grab attitude seems to truly come to the front. People in those times seem to use whatever they can to make clear to others that they are the ones in power and that they should be able to exercise it. Some people use their age as a reason they should be in power. Other people use the amount of time they have spent in a particular church. Still others will mention their exemplary church attendance. Still others complain about those that they want to control, whether it be children that disturb them or whether it be adults that don't quite look like they think they should. Others threaten to withhold their offerings. They mention what their families have done in the past for this church. Some use their strong personality to silence those who are weak. And pastors are no doubt exempt to this temptation. For pastors can indeed use the authority given to them by their office to try to simply mold the church into the one that matches their desires. Yes, all of this the people of God do in order to get their way. Unless we forget, the they that we are talking about today is not just those people that first popped to your mind when you heard this list of characteristics. The they that we talk about is each one of us sitting here today. For all of us, indeed at times, give in to this temptation. Yes, all of us at times find ways to establish our power and then seek to lord that power over others in order to shape things into the form of what we desire. Oh yes, there are some voices that are louder than others. And there are some people that abuse power more regularly than others. But indeed, all of us fall into this trap. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we are able to control these urges, as some of us have learned better than others. But still, at times, we all fail. But Jesus says that it cannot be this way in His kingdom. No, if we want to be first in His kingdom, we must be the slave of all. James and John in our gospel reading were ready to take the seats of power at Jesus' right and left so that they could start handing out orders to the church right and left. But Jesus told them that if they wanted to lead, they would have to be a servant. He told them that if they wanted to be first, they would have to be slaves of all. And Jesus tells us the same thing today. He says that if we want to lead, we must be slaves. Not slaves of some particular person and their whim, but slaves of all people according to their need. And that means at work we should not view our jobs as simply places to compete with our peers and gain opportunities for ourselves, but rather as places to serve other people. At home, it means that parents will seek the best for their children, and that children will be thoughtfully aware of their parents' needs. Spouses will not seek to manipulate each other. Instead, they will spend their time serving one another. And what would it mean here at church? Well, it means that we are indeed, as God's people, to think of others first. We are to think about them and their needs right as we're sitting next to them in the pew. We're to think about them when we make decisions about what we should or should not do in this place. We're to think about them, yes, even at those voters' meetings when important decisions are being made. For you see, if the whole body of Christ will do this, then all people's needs will be met. It frees up one group of people to speak for another. You see, one becomes free to speak on behalf of the body of Christ because they know that someone else will be looking after their needs and their desires. And so in doing, while no one ever would have to speak for what they really want, no one would ever leave a meeting without having heard it expressed. And in so doing, we would make decisions in this congregation that are good for everyone. And not just end up with decisions that are a reflection of the desires of the most loud or the most manipulative people in the midst of the congregation. And if we can begin this attitude here in this place, it will begin to color everything that we do. We'll start by thinking about those here with us. But quickly our minds will be brought to think about those who are outside of our church as well. Those people living in our communities who also have needs that we might be able to place first. And from there we will think about those who are very far away from us in every way. Jesus said, if you wish to be first, you must become the slave of all. And you know what? He didn't just say it. He did it. Jesus always looked out for the weak. He always placed others before himself. Jesus, the master, got down and washed the feet of his servants. And if all that wasn't enough, Philippians reminds us that he made himself nothing and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Yes, Jesus died as a slave to the whole world, placing their needs above his pleasure. He died as the ultimate slave. And now, just as he said, he is first, king over an eternal kingdom. But you know, Jesus' death was much more than just an example for us of how to live, although it certainly was that. As Jesus told his disciples, he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That means that all of our sins, your sins and my sins, of lording power over others, can be forgiven. We sinful people can be returned to our God. The price has already been paid for our reconciliation with him. We turn from our sins and we find our forgiving Father. Yes, Jesus' death, it means that the sin that was in our life no longer has to be the controlling force in our life. But the guilt and power of that sin is gone. And then we can go out as people who have been saved by the servant King Jesus and live in his kingdom as slaves of all. Who wants to be a slave? Jesus did. By his grace, I do. How about you? Amen.